Welcome to Business Watch. Rapidly rising chicken prices driven up by rampant inflation, global food and commodity shortages, the escalation in fuel, transport and electricity costs, and increasing trade tariffs, and the fact that wages are decreasing and unemployment increasing is certainly providing fresh fodder for a long-running debate on the role of tariffs in the local poultry sector. This is on the back of chicken prices already having increased by 10% per year for the last decade. Back in 2019, all parties in the sector, including the local industry, importers and government, signed and agreed to a poultry master plan. Well, to debate the issue of tariffs, I'm joined now by Donald Mackay, who's a regular writer for Business Day. He's the founder and CEO of XA International Trade Advisors. Dave Wolpert, a former CEO of the Association of Meat Importers and Exporters. Francois Baird, who's a founder of Fairplay. And Isaac Breitenbach, GM of the South African Poultry Association, the local broiler industry organization. Francois, kick us off. You left public relations to found Fairplay back in 2016. What is the mission of Fairplay?
I founded Fairplay really because I discovered the impact of dumping on people on the lowest rung of the labor chain and of small farmers whose livelihoods were affected. And the reason is because I believe that when it comes to dumping, for instance, it's a form of predatory trade. If you look at what happened in Ghana, in 2017, USAID did a study, and they showed that when Ghana provided 95% of its own chicken in years past, after the EPA, the European Partnership Agreement, Ghana opened up the market with no tariffs or duties or anything, and today it's 5% of the market. And in 2017, steak in Durban was cheaper than chicken in Ghana. And so what I've discovered over time, because of my concern about the impact on poor communities in deep rural areas, which is where most of the South African poultry producers are based, was we want a fair level playing field. We're in favor of free trade. We're not against imports. We are for an open system, but according to the rules. The regulations are not set by us or even only by the South African government. The regulations are set by the World Trade Organization. And we're in favor of saying, have competition, have imports, have exports, but play according to the rules. And so what we discovered was that dumping was taking place. And it's not us saying so, it's the International Trade Administration Commission, ITAC, that made clear that there was dumping, found countries and specific exporters to South Africa guilty of dumping. And it seems to us as though the world trade system is really skewed against smaller countries, smaller producers, and it's the little people who bite off the bad end of the stick. And so, for us, we're not against imports. We are for proper regulatory level and fair playing field.
Thank you, Francois. Let's move over to Isaac as well, who sits on the same side of this debate as you certainly do, and clearly in favour of the SA Poultry Master Plan. Isaac, on the one hand, I can certainly be sympathetic to local producers who have to compete with the brown meat stuff dumped here while white meat is consumed in developed markets. On the other hand, one also has to be mindful of the impact that this is having on the local industry operating under a tariff kind of shield. Have we improved? Have we become more competitive or efficient? Some might argue against that, and certainly the price of chicken is now increasing on the back of these tariffs. So given that, what do you support inside the Poultry Master Plan?
Thanks, Michael. I think that if we start to discuss the subject, the very first point that we need to make is that this is a globally competitive industry. We produce chicken at the sixth lowest production cost in the world. We have outperformed the European Union for the last 13 years. Yet, this industry, for the last 10 years, have not made enough money to reinvest in the industry. When one then analyzed the statistics to understand what the cause of this was, the cause was unfair trade or dumping, as Francois has mentioned. And that is why we got anti-dumping duties. We have currently 9 anti-dumping duties against countries, which tells us that it's widespread. It's not an incidental problem. Secondly, anti-dumping duties as high as 265% tells us that that dumping is material in this particular industry. So we need to protect this industry only from dumped product, not from imports. We need to level the playing field. It is more or less level right now, and we can compete with that. Lastly, I don't believe that the big driver of costs or prices in the poultry industry relates to the tariffs that we got. If one carefully analyzed that, since April last year, raw material cost increased by 20%, chicken prices probably 17%, and the major driver of prices as we see it today is because of the cost of maize and soya. And that is also not only for the South African market. We buy our maize and soya on the international market on the Chicago Board of Trade. So we are seeing these price increases not only in South Africa. We're seeing it in Brazil, we see it in America, and we see it in the European Union. So this is not a problem linked to South Africa alone.
Again, leveling the playing field, a key theme to come through here. And around imports, Donald, I want to bring you into the discussion. I mean, you've raised several issues over various op-eds in the Business Day. Just take us through what your primary objections are to the reasons that have been put forward by Francois and Isaac to support the tariffs where they are, and even, as I've seen, some requests for higher tariffs.
Yes, I think I actually agree with Francois when he says that we want to be in a situation where there's fair trade. I think we may disagree on how we define that. But I'm not someone who believes that we should never have any protection for any industry at all. However, we are dealing with something quite sensitive. So on the one side of this, of course, we have producers. And I understand where Francois and Issa come from, but the other side of this is we do have consumers, a lot of them, which are under unusually difficult circumstances at the moment. So I think a question has to be asked on whether the protection currently afforded to the industry is reasonable or not. And I would argue, particularly as it relates to the anti-dumping investigation that is currently ongoing that both Francois and Issa referenced, that number one, the duties imposed are incorrect. So the levels that ITAC have imposed that are wrong. They've made 3 corrections already to try to fix up the mistakes that they've made, and there are still more corrections to be made, and we'll see what they do with those. But then the second issue is when the investigation was brought, this was at a time when volumes were declining. The position on imposing duties, anti-dumping duties particularly, don't merely require the presence of dumping, which may or may not be occurring in any given time, but that there's also material injury to the industry, that the injury is caused by the dumping. And certainly on the last 2 factors, there are problems. And on the first factor, we know factually that ITAC have made material errors, and ITAC have acknowledged those material errors, at least some of them, and have corrected some. So we're still in a position where we have to ask, in a situation as has occurred at the moment, which is not to anyone's doing, certainly on this call or anywhere else. We've got Ukraine, we've got the terrible situation in KZN. Do we really want to add to that burden right now by these additional duties, which I argue are unnecessary, given the levels of protection the industry already benefits from without this?
That's certainly in the current context what the current debate is hinging on at the moment, David, is the affordability for consumers. If you look at the protection for the thousands of workers and the handful of local producers versus the millions of consumers, there's certainly does the means justify the end debate that starts to materialize here. But from your vantage point, and you're the former CEO of AAMI, you're slightly more independent now. What do you make of the way the debate has unfolded under the SA Poultry Master Plan, which was really unveiled by the DTIC as a way to help ameliorate all of these concerns?
I agree with the previous speakers. I think they've all made some very valid points. But when I was sitting inside the industry and we were being hit year after year with new tariff investigations, some of them were related to dumping. As far as the previous speakers are concerned, they've only referred to dumping, and there have been three or four dumping actions over the last 10 or 11 years, but there's been four or five increased tariff actions unrelated to dumping. So we've in total, we've had something like 11 actions over the last 10 years. Only one of them was tested outside the industry. It was tested by the World Trade Organization, and that was Brazil's complaint in 2011. And ITAC's investigation was rejected. And a lot of money had to, that had been paid in terms of provisional dumping duties was refunded by SARS to importers. So that definitely proves the point that Donald has made in that there have been many, many errors within the investigations, and duties have been imposed based on those errors. So while I'm not denying the fact that dumping exists, I don't believe from my own experience and from what I've read and seen, and I've studied the figures very carefully, that the numbers that are being thrown around are even close to being realistic. And I would like to just add with regard to that, Isaac mentioned the number of actions and the number of countries that have been acted against. The USA exports something like 70,000 tons of bone-in chicken meat to South Africa annually, and under an agreement that SAPA was a party to. Yet, despite the fact that many of the imports that are coming in from the USA are cheaper than those that are coming in from Brazil and the EU, despite that fact, there's been no anti-dumping action taken against the USA. And the reason for that is obvious. South Africa doesn't want to ruffle America's feathers because of the benefits that are accruing to us
through
the AGOA agreement.
Yeah. So let's move on from there. Then, Francois, you talk about leveling the playing fields and fair trade. Surely we should be going after the US if that is the case.
Well, this speaks precisely to our concern, which is that when you look at the world trade system, it seems to be the big against the small, the strong against the weak. If you look at what happens, for instance, in rural areas, the people who go out of the poultry producing first are the small black farmers. And because they go out producing chicken, the consumers in these deep rural areas then have to travel to town and try to buy chicken, frozen chicken, that, you know, is sometimes not the perfect thing for them to buy. A recent study by Professor May at Western Cape showed that, in fact, some of this imported frozen chicken, once it's defrosted and cooked, actually is less chicken for the same money as fresh chicken. And so what we are concerned about is exactly what David is talking about. It's the abuse of dominance by the big producers against the small. And in Brazil's case, for instance, I wasn't around in this field 11 years ago, but in 2017, 2019 and 2018, there were several cases against Brazil of abuses in the regulatory area, for instance, the wheat flesh scandal. So I won't condone the fact that the US is dumping. I think everyone should stop dumping and should play according to the rules. And the prices are not, the South African prices are not, as far as we can tell, having read a study by Professor Willemser, are not really affected by imports, because even when they dump, it only means they make fat and margins. It doesn't mean that the consumer benefits. So all of this is really a factor of having to bring some order and play according to the rules. That's all we want. South Africa has one of the highest child stunting rates you can imagine in the world. 27% of children under five. Food nutrition security is vital for South Africa. And when trade systems are interrupted and disrupted, as we've seen over the last 2-3 years, it's vital for South Africa to have a thriving local poultry producer, because that's the protein of the nation. Mm. But I'm not only talking about the big producers represented by the big companies. They can take care of themselves. They have capital. I'm talking about the small producers. And these small producers are vital to the market, because they supply a portion of the market that the big producers cannot supply and should not be supplying, because they don't want to compete with these small people. You can ask Isaac about that, but the big producers compete against the big producers in Europe, etc. And there's a value chain at stake here, because South African chickens eat South African maize. Brazilian chickens don't. So we worry about the whole value chain, and we worry about the whole issue of protein for the nation and taking care of disruptions.
And on, we'll come back, Isaac, to why we're not taking the US on, but on the point of the costs of the tariffs, Donald, have you done any work on to what impact the tariffs are having on the cost of local chicken for consumers?
I think the idea that what's happening is that there are just fat margins being accumulated in the value chain is probably not correct. What happens is the fact that if the duties were stripped away, the price would be lowered. So the fact that the duties are there causes the prices overall to elevate across the chain. And the higher the duties move, the domestic industry is not going to be holding tight with their price increases, unless there's a compelling reason to keep those prices down. Here's what we do know. In the period from January 2021 to January of this year, frozen chicken portions increased in price by 17%, which is fairly significant. Companies like Astral, for example, at their year-end to the end of September 2021, posted a 13.9% increase in their revenue to 15.9 billion rand. If we look at the chicken division of RCL Foods, again, we see another large increase in their profitability. So the question, and by the way, I'm not begrudging these companies a profit. They wouldn't exist without it. And I'm also not denying the fact that there are years when they're better and there are years when they are worse off. But I think the fact that there are imports does constrain the price. If you took those away, those prices would rise. That would simply be normal commercial behavior. So I think there is a cap on those increases just by the fact that there is more competition. If you take the competition away, that would be an issue.
On the issue of, and there's probably a two-prong issue, is one on why we're not taking the US on, and I understand the real politic of global trade, but if you could just have a comment on that, and also on our competitiveness. There was a comment made by Astral CEO Chris Skitter last year that nobody in Europe wants our chicken at the moment, and there's a lot to be said in that comment as to why, if we are so competitive, as you said, in the sixth lowest cost producers in the world, why we're not expanding our export market the way that other countries are successfully around the world?
Michael, I think to answer the first question in terms of the US, we actually do have a 9.40 anti-dumping duty against US chicken. And that duty has stopped all the imports of dumped product from the US for several years now, for probably 5 years. What has happened is that with the negotiations of the AGOA agreement, the industry were actually thrown under the bus, so to speak, to have to accept the 70,000 tons quota that allow for importation of American chicken into South Africa in return for trade in steel and motor vehicles to the US. So there's a very, very strong lobbying against that. And that's coming up for review in 2025, and we will certainly make our voices heard that we are not in favor of the 70,000 tons of chicken that is being sent to South Africa without paying the anti-dumping duty. In other words, it's actually an agreement to dump, which we do not agree with. In terms of looking at the competitiveness of the industry, if we look at price increases for the last 5 years, and we are concerned about consumers, that increase was a mere 3.5% increase, which is well below the inflation rate in South Africa. So the industry, as we sit here, is providing really cheap product for the masses. I think that is that's very important. Secondly, the impact of dumping on the small producers. In 2019, we survey our small producers every 6 months. In 2019 data, end of 2019, it indicated that 48% of those small producers have gone out of business because they couldn't compete anymore. And those are statistics that impact the rural areas, and as Francois has mentioned or explained, that those people now have to buy product at a more expensive price. So we need to carry on and supply the cheap product for the masses. It's not a short-term problem that we need to address here. We need to look at it in the long term. This is an industry that sits at the top of the grain value chain, and when we suffer, like we've suffered for 10 years, we see a reduction in the usage of feed, we see a reduction in using of raw materials, packaging, retail, wholesale. This is a massive industry. And therefore, we need to do the strategic thing right, and that is to protect against unfair trade. And short term, we need to put our focus on giving the consumer affordable chicken.
But we're in a situation where I'm hearing that chicken is smuggled from Botswana to South Africa to avoid some of these tariffs. And you're also in a situation here, Isaac, where ultimately there's a trade-off in any tariff discussion. Has anyone done the economic modelling of what the trade-off is here by supporting the local industry versus raising costs for millions of consumers of this vital source of white meat as their primary protein? Because ultimately, for those outside the industry, that's what this debate boils down to. We need to be looking at ways that we can make our primary protein source a lot cheaper for those very masses that you just referenced. Does anyone know if there's been any economic modelling done? Any modelling around the trade-offs here, Francois?
Yeah. I'm not aware of a socio-economic study, impact study that's been done. And maybe it's something that should be done. What I am aware of is that some economists, like Professor Willemser, has done a study to say, did prices rise as a result of any of these anti-dumping duties? And the answer was no. The prices did not go up as a result, and that makes sense, because the South African product, which is 70% of the market, if I understand it correctly, is not affected by anti-dumping duties. In addition, you know, you mentioned smuggling. This whole issue of smuggling would not arise unless there were fat margins in dumping. And we don't think that margin is being passed on to the consumer. In fact, it seems to us, again, based on economists who've looked at this carefully, that the margin is just below the margin of the local producers to try and force their hand. But it doesn't really affect the consumer. And when you see price rises taking place, it's not that the dumpers are passing on benefit to consumers. They're simply pocketing the money. Now, I've never seen the results of the big importers being published. I don't know how much profit they make. But if you look at the South African industry being competitive, you look at the South African industry not being affected by these tariffs, or especially anti-dumping duties, which is what Fairplay is most worried about, then there's this issue of predatory trade. Mm. You know, if Brazil was a company in South Africa, they'd have the Competitions Commission sicked on them.
Francois, we have to end it there. Sadly, we have run out of time, but I think it is definitely time to consider some kind of socio-economic impact study into this, and also to call for a VAT zero rating of chicken as well to help reduce the cost. But the debate continues around tariffs that do provide assistance to the local poultry industry. That was Francois Baird of Fair Play, joined around the table by Donald Mackay, who's a regular op-ed writer for BD and founder and CEO of XA International Trade Advisors, Dave Wolpert, the former CEO of the Association of Meat Importers and Exporters, and Isaac Breitenbach, GM of the South African Poultry Association. That's the local broiler organization, and clearly the issue is still ruffling feathers no matter where you sit in the value chain.